Hey, hey, it's Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. Heritage Radio Network today is brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, fairwaymarket.com. And we're here at Roberta's, as usual, because that's where Heritage Radio Network is based. It's so funny, Don't Want Your Love. I don't know why, that's kind of a downer of a song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not really like the happiest love song of all time.
Every door that closes is an opportunity for another door to open.
So. There's a silver lining to every cloud. That is true. But it has my name in it. As last week's guest, Mark Bittman, noted, he was like, or a lot of people know it, they're like, hey, that's Kathy. I love that song. I'm like, yeah, I do too, because it has my name. Anyway, these guys, I don't know if there's any songs about Peter. Oh, there's got to be some. And Noah.
Mine's just embarrassing.
Oh, really? What's yours?
It's about Noah's Ark.
Oh, no, Noah. Wait.
I don't remember how it goes.
Go? Noah, row your boat ashore.
There's that, too.
There you go. So, okay, we have...
Hallelujah.
Now I'm thinking. Okay, so Noah Berland is here today. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
He is a fabulous cook, collaborator in the kitchen of all sorts of foods, dishes. Lately, he's been on quite a bit of a croissant kick and all sorts of breads. He's just a terrific foodie, I guess. Is that okay to call you that?
I don't know. Labels, no matter what, aren't the nicest thing, I think, sometimes, but... Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I won't complain.
He's turning out to be quite a good jerk, too.
Not as good of a jerk as you are.
So the other jerk here is Peter Freeman, Petey. Petey has had a really exciting couple weeks. For the last year or so, I've kind of witnessed this from, you know, seeing the first stages of trying to get this old pharmacy in Carroll Gardens turned into a vibrant new pharmacy with an F, Brooklyn Pharmacy and Soda Fountain, has been Petey's dream for a while. And lo and behold, it is now really Brooklyn Pharmacy and Soda Fountain.
Yeah, it's on the windows.
It's all over the place on Henry and Sackett. You got to see it. It's opening soon to much fanfare. It looks beautiful. It's going to have old-fashioned, you know, soda fountain, egg creams, which is Petey's specialty, and milkshakes, really good, you know, quality farm-fresh foods. You already got some local artisanal food stuff up there. Tell me a little bit more about egg creams, because this is something that I think bewilder. Either you, like, love it, or you're like, huh? And I was kind of like, huh, at first.
Well, you know, I grew up drinking egg creams. My pops is from the old country, which is Queens. Native New Yorker. We drank a lot of egg creams growing up. It was not even so much a big deal. They were just every day in the refrigerator there was seltzer, syrup, and milk, and after dinner we'd have an egg cream, or he'd kind of say an egg cream a day would keep the doctor away. Of course we
I wish.
So it was this thing that I had with my dad, and I just kind of felt like every kid had this connection with egg creams, especially New Yorkers or folks
no,
from
you're also a native New Yorker, Brooklyner. So this is something you grew up with?
Yeah, I grew up drinking egg creams all the time.
And you'd make it at home?
Yeah, we used to buy, you know, jars of Fox's You Bet. You used to be able to send in the cap to a jar of Fox's You Bet in like $1.
What if somebody broke out a Hershey's chocolate syrup?
That's not a real egg
cream. Well, just so you know, Fox's You Bet is made in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it's the same family, the Fox family. They still own it, and they still operate it, and they still make the syrup. So... the idea is that if it's not from Brooklyn, like it's not a Brooklyn egg cream, you know. So you can use other syrups, but you might get laughed off the block.
Wow, you bet. All right,
you bet. That right. It's a great response.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, but egg cream.
So going back to what I was saying is that mm-hmm. that all of a sudden I was, you know, I moved to this neighborhood in Carroll Gardens and I met some kids and I was like, yo, you kids drink egg creams? And they're like, what? and you don't know what an egg cream is, and they didn't. And the more kids I met that just didn't have this experience and didn't have this part of their upbringing, I was shocked, really. And then I started looking around, and the old soda fountains, the old places you could go in and get these kind of drinks, or, you know, things like a cherry lime Ricky or an
egg cream.
Are
all in Norman Rockwell paintings.
Exactly. They're all in paintings, and they're not in reality anymore. And that whole cultural phenomenon of being able to go to a candy store and order something from a soda fountain.
From a fountain, instead of a bottle of Coke or whatever.
Well, Norman Rockwell is really when things started to move over, you know, iconic pictures with Coca-Cola bottles and things like that, I think.
Right. And it's super efficient, too, having an actual soda fountain. I'm sure, you know, many places still do. It's just soda, and then you add the syrups for Coke or Pepsi or orange soda. But you want to do that, but obviously not with high fructose corn syrup. Tell me a little bit more, I think.
Well, we're all about traceable ingredients. Mm-hmm. What it comes down to is the stuff you're putting into your body and the stuff you're giving to your kids or you're giving to your grandma or your ma. You should know what's in it. It's pretty simple. You know, when you pick up a bottle from the store, there's so many preservatives and things that are put into it that are intended to let it sit on the shelf or travel long distances. It's not necessarily fresh. So everything we're trying to do over at the pharmacy is centered around traceable ingredients, from the stuff we're selling on the shelves to the stuff we're serving in the fountain. You know, I take a lot of pride in being able to give the ingredient list to the person that's purchasing and say, look at that. You know, tell me there's something on that you don't recognize. And they don't. I mean, it's all there, and it's like, this is what you're getting. But you know, it really comes down, and as Kathy suggested, we just went under this major renovation, and you know, all my gratitude in the world, which is a reality TV show that came in and did it, and it was their final episode, this construction intervention, and they did this beautiful renovation. I mean, the space was beautiful to begin with. But really the most exciting thing for me is having seltzer on tap, because to make any of these fountain drinks, especially egg creams, you need cold seltzer. And it needs to be bubbly, almost to the point where it kind of burns the back of your throat. And without that, you're nothing. And we put that together, and we're flowing cold New York filtered mm-hmm. tap water, and it comes out as liquid gold.
Yeah, who needs to? I mean, what else do you need, really?
I'm going to save myself $25 a week just with my seltzer tap.
And an egg cream is seltzer milk, and Fox's You Bet.
And Fox's You Bet.
And the milk, I know you're partial to Hudson Valley Fresh.
Absolutely. You know, there's a fellow that put together the collective, which is Hudson Valley Fresh, this Dr. Simon, who. I mean, you speak to him for 15 minutes and you're frightened to get any other kind of milk, because you kind of find out what's going on, and that, you know, a lot of dairies, you know, gather stock from lots of different farms, and they don't really have control of it. But at Hudson Valley Fresh, they only have 7 farms contributing to their dairy, and he has really good control over the quality of milk that comes into the dairy, so that when it comes for pasteurizing and it comes for working with the milk to make it a consumer product, they don't have to mess with it all that much. I mean, you're really getting kind of the straight dope, you know, when it comes to milk, and you can taste the difference, you can see the difference. It's thick, it has a sweet taste. I mean, you can almost taste what the cows are eating, and you know, one conversation, and then, you know, just sampling different styles of milks, I was totally sold.
Yeah, it's really cool how you like know all these people too. I mean, not to like toot your, I guess I'll toot your horn, but you know, when we're serving
like that,
up
Kathy.
Yeah, when we're serving up milkshakes the other day, everyone's like, oh my god, that's the best milkshake ever. I'm like, you know what, it's milk and it's this ice cream. And it's Adirondack ice cream, and it's your friends, you know, ice cream. You just like know these people, and it's the best, you know.
I feel like it's a story, and everybody's has a part of the story, and whether it's the milk guy or the ice cream guy or the kid that's at the counter, or, you know, or the jerk behind the, you know, the bar, it's We're all part of the same story.
Why did they get the name Jerk? I mean, Soda Jerks.
Soda Jerk, because you're pulling the handle back?
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Yeah, that's probably the literal translation.
You have to jerk it back and forth.
I was always wondering that, yeah.
A good soda jerk is a little, it's quick with a response. You know, they can be a little antagonistic in a very pleasant way, but... You know, there's something that goes along with being a jerk. That's more than pulling a handle. It's you know, you got to have a little bit of snap, a little bit of snap, crackle, and pop to your
keep yeah. Because what other occupation do you call them by, like, a verb that's, you know, something they physically do? It doesn't. Yeah, it's got to be, you know, a little wink wink thing. Soda jerk. So what was I going to say? I just forgot. Oh, yeah. We were talking the other day about kind of like this new food movement and where we think how, you know, Brooklyn Pharmacy ties into it and what's real about it and where it's going. And
you know, where it's going, I mean, hopefully is into our bellies.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real. You know, but what's happening and what I can see and you know, there's it's big and it's getting bigger every day is there's these folks that have always been interested in food and always had a flair for cooking, and they're kind of taking it to the next step in which they've have commercial kitchens or they're working with kitchens and they're creating products either based on their dreams or based on their training or based on just their desire to make good food
and enjoy it and share it
and how it's developed is it's been a specialty product. You go to places like the Brooklyn Flea, or you go to the different food fairs, you know, like the one in Fort Greene, and you're getting these products on a temporary basis, you know, that if you get out to that market, you can sample this stuff, you can buy it, and you can support these producers. What the Brooklyn Pharmacy is trying to do is create an everyday marketplace for these types of things, because that is what's going to not only incubate the new people coming up, but also sustain the people that are taking that leap. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, that a lot of these folks that are producing these things are also working other jobs. They're also, you know, that they haven't reached that point yet where their food production and this labor of love is paying their rent. Mm-hmm. And as long as they're stuck in that, they're not going to be able to work to full capacity to really develop the product line that's going to sustain them. So what the pharmacy is hoping to do is create that everyday market so that people can make that a conscious choice to buy these products all the time, because they'll be in their neighborhoods, they'll be at their local stores. You know, so my hope is that the Brooklyn Pharmacy can usher in the next wave of, you know, always available products from these small vendors, and provide them with the cash flow and provide them with the consistent income so that they can quit that other job, so they can focus solely on their product and solely on creating this the food that they love so much and that we love. And they'll just grow from there, and it'll be, you know, I use that word incubator, you know, and I mean that in the sense that it's a place for it to grow.
And support, you know, each other. But isn't it more expensive than going down to, like, the Met grocery down the street, or?
You know, that's a good point. It's something that befuddles me, because, you know, in my eyes, things should be less expensive if they're made local, mm-hmm. Because you're not working with a distributor, you're not transporting it thousands of miles, and I sometimes get confused when I see, you know, certain products being shipped from great distances, being almost half the price of stuff that are made, you know, a little while, you know, a few blocks away. So I'm hoping that we can figure out a system in which, you know, things become affordable, because, you know, I really, it scares me that because we've decided and we figured out that there's bad stuff in mass produced foods, and there's stuff that you don't want to give your kids and you don't want to eat yourself, So we have new stuff. We have these products that are made out of traceable ingredients, made out of quality products. But the cost is makes it harder to afford that. So it's forcing people, even though they know that it's not the best option, to buy the less expensive thing. And so it almost becomes almost like exclusive,
right,
to those that have money. And I'd love to get to the point where then I understand that when you're producing something at such a high level that there is cost associated with that. But if we could find some sort of middle ground where we're working with natural ingredients and at the same time creating price points that are affordable to everyday people. So it's not exclusive. So it's not a classist thing.
I think that's the goal. And I could sense that was, the goal. Whenever I suggest a local food maker, you're like, can they make me something that's less than $5? I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. But on that note of shopping, Noah picked out a song. I don't know why anybody else didn't pick it before. Do you want to tell everyone what it is?
It's The Clash, Lost in the Supermarket.
Let's hear it. We'll be right back.
I'm all lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. For a special offer, guaranteed personality. I wasn't born so much as I fell out. Nobody seemed to notice me. We had a hedge back home in a suburb over which I never could see. I heard the people who live on the ceiling scream and fight or scarily. Hearing that noise was my first ever feeling. That's how it's been all around me. I'm all lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for a special offer, a guaranteed personality. I'm all tuned in, I see all the programs. I save coupons for packets of tea. I've got my giant hit discotheque album. I empty a bottle, I feel a bit free. Kids in the halls and the pipes in the walls make me noises for company. Long distance callers make long distance calls, and the silence makes me lonely. I'm lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for the special offer, a guaranteed personality.
Hello, we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and today's show is brought to you by Fairway. This is Heritage Radio Network, thanks to Nat Wiener. Today in the control booth, Jack in the booth. Jack Inslee is not in today, but we thank him very much for being the producer.
And thanks to Roberta's. This is some kicking pizza.
Yeah, you know, it's
I slammed down a slice during that song.
It's an ironic way to have a show based around eating in, and, you know, talking about food and cooking, which I really want to get into right now because you guys are my favorite people to cook with, really.
I just real quick, I have a great story about Kathy. When I met Kathy, we had a goat roast at the pharmacy. This was in the beginning stages with the greenhorns, and we roasted goats out in the middle of the street on bicycle spits and had a marching band, and it was we kind of went country for the day, and Kathy and I were cooking. We were making a dill yogurt sauce, and she cut her finger
on radishes.
Yeah, it was a pretty good cut. I mean, and you know, she was like, "Just tape it up. Put me back in the game, boss. Put me back in the game." You know, I always feel like there's in this there's two types of foodies, right? There's the kind that go out and buy things and enjoy the enjoy what other people are doing. They're the kind that say, you know, throw some duct tape on that cut and let me keep going. So.
Man, that was a great day. I mean,
that was a great day.
We had goats roasting on the sidewalk and a spit powered by a bicycle. That was crazy.
That
and then we had to carve it all up and put into sandwiches, which that was fun. Wow. You should have been there, Noah. yes. I just, cooking with people is like just one of the greatest pleasures in life. And I can't, you know, live without it. And I wouldn't want to be like, I really, there's something about being in a restaurant and not getting to see the kitchen that is a little bit like, gives you, I don't know. It just gives you like a weird feeling of dis or unsatisfaction. You guys get that? No? You like being
sometimes, you mean. I mean, like I gotta say, sometimes I don't want to see the kitchen. Because, you know, I mean, you know, it's the proof's in the pudding, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just the concept of, you know, as traceable ingredients, seeing what's before your eyes, being able to understand what's in the things you're eating, you know, because really good food and good product, there's no tricks, you know, there's nobody's totally hiding anything up their sleeve. You know, you should be able to put it all on the table.
And if you can't stomach it, then get, you know, make your own food.
Make your own food.
Mm-hmm. You know, I totally agree. You know, if you can't stomach the sight of the food in its raw state or whatever, like some people are really turned off by, in Chinese restaurants, there's often fish tanks in the back, you know, illuminated with neon or whatever. And people scoop out a fish every now and then next to somebody's, you know, seat at a table. And they're like, oh, my God.
Well, it's a decent lesson. I mean, for kids, for anybody to go out and butcher your own animal or to go and, you know, to go catch a fish and, you know, have to go through that whole process. I mean, I don't think, you know, that at a certain point, you don't have to do that for every piece of meat you eat. You know, you don't have to go out and shoot it. Yeah. But to at some point.
But if you're eating at a restaurant, appreciating, you're obviously there to appreciate food.
And yeah. And to know where it comes from, just as much right. as seeing the lettuce. You know, seeing and you know, I did seeing the carcass of an animal. I mean, it's about understanding where things are coming from and the process that it takes to create them. And that's in some ways we've been duped a little bit by fast food places by when they've processed it to the point that you don't even recognize it as a living animal. Or, you know, as a you know, something that was grown and was
kind of isn't.
but it is. I mean, that's what's scary yeah. is that actually everything true. Is living and everything we are. We are going through the same process, but it's so hidden from us and it's so processed that it becomes very hard to have any kind of control over it.
Absolutely. Well, what do we like to cook now? Not to, you know, change gears completely, but what is something... I love, you know, going back to this question. If you're really trying to impress someone, it's probably not a goat on a spit. Just trying to have a really visceral, beautiful, sensual experience with food that is just romantic and attractive to serve or to watch or to just eat. What do you guys think is a really good meal? Noah.
I don't think you need to necessarily aim to impress or do anything like that. What you're cooking or you make itself is going to communicate something, I guess. So you cook what you find interesting or what somebody else thinks they like. So it's more about
the performance, you're saying?
No, it's not okay. The performance. It's just the actual... You know who you're cooking for. I don't think you can cook the same thing for two people necessarily for the same outcome.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
What are my inspirations? You know, I started cooking at a very young age. Like Water for Chocolate was this movie. And it was at one point the woman was brokenhearted and she made a chocolate mole sauce that made everybody cry. I've always been of the mind that you can transfer your own energy into the food you're creating. You know, so whether it's a red sauce or whether it's, you know, a seafood dish or a soup, you know, that if you hold, you know, especially when it comes to intimate and romantic, if you hold thoughts yeah. in your head and you think about, you know, you think about the more intimate details of what you're trying to accomplish with your meal and you put that kind of love into a, you know, or that kind of, you know, passion into what you're creating. It's probably a pretty good recipe for success.
So what happens when I what happens when you you're like so angry, you're like pounding on, you know, kneading bread, and you eat it?
Hey, sometimes that's the best kind of tension, that, like, you know, that's that that creates
you eat your frustrations out. Yeah, I agree. You swallow it. Any specific things you guys are interested in cooking right now, or find particularly fun?
Right now it's truffles and croissants, I guess.
Truffles and croissants, I guess.
See, that's hot right there.
Yes, connoisseur. Why? It was a challenge.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to, you know, do just the same thing. And you have to learn something, you need to challenge yourself, and you get the most understanding of how to do it by doing it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And if you're looking for a date, I mean, this man's making truffles at night and croissants in the morning.
Well, for people who don't know how to make croissants, how many layers do you make them with?
I've been doing like 128 layers.
Yeah, so that's 120 layers.
Well, it's not
butter and flour and dough.
Butter and dough, butter and
rolled
dough.
Rolled together, then beautifully, and they came out really, really beautiful.
It's a serious task. I mean, that's, you know, I went through college. I put myself through college baking croissant out in Missoula, Montana. And it really is, it's, you know, I'd sleep through class, but the teacher never minded because I'd bring her a chocolate croissant. You know, like, I was like, well, all right, Petey's sleeping, but hey, look at this croissant.
I think chocolate croissants any day sounds like the perfect breakfast. I'm on a croissant kick right now. I don't know why. Probably because I ate one of Noah's and I was like, oh my God, I need croissants now. Nothing else has been that good though.
But, you know, I think we're going to get wrapped up here pretty soon. I just want to, you know, like, if you haven't had an egg cream, if you don't know what it is, or if you do and you're looking for someone that's going to treat you right, come find us over at the pharmacy. And
seriously.
And we will treat you right. We'll satisfy that itch.
I know you will. And you just love talking with people and meeting people and genuinely getting to know your neighbors. It's going to be fun. It's really going to be fun. You guys got to come by at Brooklyn Pharmacy. Do you have a, are you going to have a website or? There's a blog spot.
There's a blog. You can put pharmacy. You can put Brooklyn Pharmacy.
Pharmacy with an F.
At this point now, you can put it in Google and they'll tell you more about it than I even know.
Good. All right. So everybody has a starting off point for knowledge.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. We should do this again. Again, this was Petey Freeman, Noah Berland.
And our friend Kathy Arroway.
Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody at Heritage. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.